It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a participation prize every week.
Warning! Mary and Gene are off the hook today. So, folks, you have been warned. Jocularity, education, knowledge, 15 minutes, whatever. Just y'all just hang in here because it's gonna be fun. Doop doop doop. Hey Gene.
Hey Mary, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm really glad to be here with you today.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
Always fun to get in the studio and do a couple of recordings and see where we go from there.
That's what it's all about.
So this week we're trying a couple of different things, and if they work, let us know. If you don't like what we're doing, let us know. Because, Gene, who is this show really for? Is it for Gene and Mary?
Well, I'd like to think so, but in real life it's not. It's for everybody that's out there that we want to take a break with and get you over here listening to all this stuff we're talking about, because it's really cool, fun stuff, and it's unique for the most part.
Yeah, and as we said in the warning, you know, sometimes it's funny, but there's always a little knowledge. That's behind everything. I mean, Gene and I both are educators. BeUnique.org is an educational nonprofit. That's the whole purpose, is to enlighten you just a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and when you come here to take a break with Gene and Mary and you're looking for jocularity and knowledge, I mean, we're full of it.
We're full of something. I have a word of the day.
Okay.
It's inspirational.
Gasp.
Well, now that was an inspiration right there. Did you know that? Yeah. That when you breathe in, you inspire.
Inspire. Inspire.
The inspire. Inspiration means providing or showing creative or spiritual inspiration. You're like an inspirational captain to a team. But it's a person or thing that excites or stimulates, but it also means inhaling. An example of inspiration is a documentary such as Forgotten Enchantress that motivates somebody to learn more. And Forgotten Enchantress inspired many people to donate many dollars, and in fact was instrumental in helping Green Gables raise $500,000 toward its purchase. And another example of inspiration is breathing in through your nose or your mouth. But see, the is not inspire, it's expire?
Expire.
Well, we're not expiring anything today. We're talking about truly inspiring people. Did you know they share two fundamental qualities, Gene?
An inspiring person, two fundamental qualities, okay?
They believe in themselves and they believe in others.
Yeah, wow.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's inspiring to know.
It is.
They also share other critical traits that make those around them want to be better, reach further, leap higher. And I think inspiring people make people want to also inspire others.
I think so. When I'm inspired about something that it's really inspiring, unique, new, I enjoy it, I always want to share it with somebody who might feel the same way if they see it.
Yeah. We have from Barb, who she looked up, 12 inspiring quotes. Now, I'm going to read the quote. See if you know who said it, Gene.
Oh, my goodness.
Life is about making an impact, not making an income.
Well, is that a fella named Kevin Cruz?
It is. Do you know who Kevin Cruz is?
No.
You're cheating.
Yes.
There's the jocularity, folks. I'm gonna turn my screen away from Gene so he can't read what I'm doing here.
I would never have any idea that.
No, I've never heard of Kevin Cruz before. But apparently, he thinks life is about making an impact, not an income, which I agree with, and I know you do.
Well, sure. I mean, an income is good, but I mean, all it is just money. I mean, an impact is what you do with your money, I think.
Right. Whatever the mind can conceive and can believe it can achieve was said by Napoleon. Now, I'm assuming that this is not Napoleon Dynamite. I think it was Napoleon Bonaparte. And I think he was the fourth, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out. Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, where are you, Napoleon? N-A-P-O-L. Okay, Napoleon comes up after my third or fourth dubbing. Just says Napoleon Bonaparte. It doesn't have any, what are those things called at the end of your name? like senior and junior, there's a word.
Suffixes.
Suffix, yeah, he doesn't have any suffix.
Yeah,
apparently he is. Napoleon Bonaparte is referred to as simply Napoleon, was a French and military political leader who rose to prominence during the French Revolution and led several successful campaigns during the Revolutionary Wars. He was the de facto leader of the French Republic as first consul from 1799 to 1804. He met his end at
Waterloo.
Waterloo. Waterloo. Remember the ABBA song about Waterloo?
You're in Waterloo, Iowa, though. Where
really?
Near where I grew up.
Cool. I didn't know that. We learn something new every day on the Take a Break with Gene and Mary show.
Every day.
Either Gene learns something, I learn something, or we all learn something together. Now, here is something that Albert Einstein said. And if you don't know who Albert Einstein is, please Google the man's name. He said, "Strive not to be a success, but rather to be of value." Which I think is pretty important. And he also said, "I don't need to memorize my phone number. I can always look it up in a phone book," because he lived during an era where phone books were common. And Albert Einstein is definitely a genius, and he was known for the law of relativity and the theory of something. And anyway, he was a smart feller. He also felt that doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting different results was a sign of insanity.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yeah. So he had a lot of interesting little quips.
Well, you know, and the thing was, he was so smart. He came up with a lot of new ideas. And when he's strived not to be a success, but rather to be of value, I think what he's shown is that if he provides value, then that is the success he was looking for.
Absolutely. I will tell you that I never felt as successful in my life. I mean, I've made money. I've believed what I could achieve, and I have made impacts. But until I started really working and seeing the difference it makes with Be Unique, what we can do, I never quite felt as successful as I do today.
Nice. Very nice.
Robert Frost was an American poet who wrote several things, but one of the things that he wrote I really enjoy, and I constantly think of it when I'm making my decisions on a day-to-day basis, such as whether to get an invisible drum or to get a real drum. I'm going with the real drum. He said, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." You come to a fork in the road and you try to figure out, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go south? Do I go north? Should I follow this path that looks like only a couple of squirrels have walked on? Or should I go on the one that everybody walks on?
Makes big, easy thoroughfare.
Yeah, it makes a difference which way you go. Florence Nightingale, who was a nurse during, I think, the First World War. Maybe she was the Civil War. Gene and I have to learn. We have to research as we go. And one of these days, I'm going to have somebody researching for us as we go, and they'll just have these things. Florence Nightingale was actually an English statistician. She was a social reformer and the founder of modern nursing. She was born in 1820 in Florence, Italy, and she died in 1910 in London, England. So she was a nurse during the Crimean War. But you had the right time frame, 1800s, late 1800s, I guess, maybe. Anyway, she said, "I attribute my success to this. I never gave nor took any excuse." You think about it. An excuse is a reason people give you for failure.
Right.
why they couldn't achieve something. Well, the reason I'm late with my assignment is, you know, whatever.
Right.
So.
Well, I think in that juncture, then, if you turn your mind to think instead of the reason it didn't work is, okay, this is what we can fix to make it work next time.
Exactly. Wayne Gretzky. Do you know who Wayne Gretzky is?
Oh, I do. Yeah, famous hockey
player. Famous hockey player from Canada. He said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Boy, howdy. That is so true, and that's an inspiration to me when I think about that.
If you know, they say the, what was that thing? Something about can't. Can't. Curtis used to say that his grandfather used to tell him, can't do anything can't doesn't want to do. But there's another thing. The only way to fail is if you don't try.
Yeah, yeah.
You automatically.
Yeah, exactly. Amelia Earhart said, the most difficult thing is the decision to act. The decision to act.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah.
If you decide, okay, right now, we were talking before the show about a project we're trying to get off the ground.
Uh-huh.
Well, we have to take an action, which requires us to sit down and brainstorm. And then we figure it out from there. And we find out how to make this work, if it's going to work or if we're going to attempt it. And as Wayne Gretzky said, if you don't take that chance, you don't take that shot, you'll never get it off the ground. So it's time to implement this.
Well, sure.
One way, either you fail or you don't. But there will be no excuses. We're not going to take any excuses. We're not going to give any excuses. But Amelia Earhart said the rest is merely tenacity. So think about that, Gene, with your project.
And Amelia Earhart, I mean, think about that. She's getting in an airplane and she has to know which direction to go.
You know, right.
Before she goes. And once she goes there, she knows she's got to go until she gets there.
And Amelia Earhart was, I believe, the first woman aviator?
Well, the distinction, I believe, the first solo woman flyer across the Atlantic.
Yeah. Babe Ruth, a baseball player who I think still has an unbroken record. Let's look that up.
Most home runs?
I think so. He was called...
Hank Aaron broke that.
Did he?
Yeah, eventually.
Oh, man.
I remember the day he broke it.
Oh, you're right. George Herman Babe Ruth was an American professional baseball player whose career in Major League Baseball spanned 22 seasons from 1941 to 1935. I want to just see real quick what it says about his records. He retired in 1935 after a partial season with the Boston Braves with 714 home runs. His lifetime statistics, I don't care. Let's see. He, at the time of his retirement, he held many of the most esteemed records, including career records for home runs, 714, since broken. So you're absolutely right. Not that you weren't right. I was just trying to see how many home runs he had.
I remember the day Hank Aaron did that, and everybody expected it.
Yeah.
And the pitcher, I mean, the discussion was, you know, he was going to throw him the pitch. And, I mean, I remember thinking if I was the pitcher, I'd let him hit it. So yeah, I got to be the pitcher.
I got to be the pitcher that helped him break Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth's record.
So I don't know if he did or not, but that was...
Yeah, I don't know. So... he said, every strike brings me closer to the next home run. Every strike. Think about that. That's like
the guy who did electricity.
Who's that? Not Tesla.
The other guy.
Edison.
Edison said, yeah, I succeeded, but I had a thousand failures before my success.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that idea. Got four or five good ideas, and there's about 4,000 or 5,000 that are sitting over here in a pile that were discarded.
Right.
To get those four or five.
Earl Nightingale, who does motivational speaking, mm-hmm. or did, I don't know if he's still around, said, we become what we think about. Well, that goes right in line with my manifest theories, you know. I don't know. There's no one attributed. Somebody said, life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it.
And I'll say that.
I like. Well, you know what? I'm sure I can look it up real quick and find out who actually did say that, because it's pretty important to think about.
I believe it.
Your reactions are so important. Don't know who said that. It still doesn't show. Okay, who said that? Michael Babich. Charles Swindoll. He's another speaker. And that brings us to the bottom of our list by Maya Angelou. She said, I've learned that people will forget about what you said. People will forget about what you did, but people will never forget about how you made them feel.
I believe that. That's been my experience.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, Jean, everybody that I know that knows you will tell me, I just love Jean because he always makes me feel good. And that's important. That's a good thing. If they only remember you for how you made them feel, and it's a good feeling. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I think about a lot of people in my past life, which we don't dwell on because we had that on another show. Confident people don't talk about the past. But if I think about people from my past, I think negative thoughts, and I don't like that. So I only want to think about the people that make me feel positive.
Well, you know, and I think even the way you look at it is so important. I had a discussion with someone not too far back. I started explaining a memory of a past event I had and a person, and they said, oh, and they started telling me this horrible recollection of the exact same event. We were all there, and their recollection was horrible and mine was good. And it was all just, I remember the horrible part, but I just didn't remember it on purpose.
Right. And you remember the old fable about I'll just say five blind men who had never seen an elephant, and they met an elephant. I'm going to look this up because this is important, and we're almost out of time, but this is an important little fable here, and it's about perception. And I know that they say that if 12 people see the same car accident, there will be 12 different reports. So here, they call it a parable. The parable of the blind men and an elephant originated in the ancient Indian subcontinent where they had been widely diffused. It's a story of a group of blind men who had never come across an elephant before, and they learn and conceptualize what the elephant is by touching it. Each man feels a different part of the elephant's body, but only one part, such as the side of the tusk. They then describe the elephant based on their limited experience, and their descriptions of the elephant are different from each other. In some versions, they come to suspect that the other person is dishonest, and so they start fighting. The moral of the parable is that humans have a tendency to claim absolute truth based on their limited subjective experience, and they ignore other people's limited subjective experience, which may be equally true. I mean, you think about it. If you touch an elephant's nose, you think it's a hose. You know, it's flexible and it's rubbery feeling. And if he sneezes on you, then you know you're gonna get wet. If you touch an elephant's tusk, it's pointy and sharp and it's hard. You touch its ears and it's soft and flexible and supple. You touch its leg, only its leg, and it feels like a tree trunk. You touch its side and you think it's as big as a house. So if you try to describe it from just what you experience, you're going to have a very limited picture. But if you put all of these five pictures together, then you might know what the elephant looks like, and you might not. That is absolutely the end of the show, and I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye, Jean.
Well, goodbye, Mary.
Thanks for joining us today on Take a Break with Jean and Mary.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Appreciate you listening. Join us each weekday at noon Eastern Time. Check us out online at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org for information about all our shows.
Bye, everybody.
See you then.